I want to use some scripture this morning out of the New Testament, and I don't even guess I've got a thought this morning. I'm just going to use the scripture, and you can take out of it whatever you want. Then I guess is if you need a text, why, you just can determine your own this morning. That'll be a switch for you. In the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, where I'm going to start, and this is Jesus still speaking to his disciples, and he's instructing them before he sends them out to begin to do the work of preaching the gospel. And he spent a considerable amount of time in preparing them, and he full well knew what that they were going to experience when they got out there. And yet with everything that he told them, and they went out, they were still not adequately prepared for what they were facing. And I don't think that's any different than it is today. When you, as a child of God, are out here in the work of the Lord, you don't know every time exactly what the next situation is going to be. And quite honestly, most of the time, we're not even sure as to how we're going to handle it. Joyce mentioned this morning about taking the hand of the Lord, and the song, the special, "Where Can I Go But to the Lord?" And that's just about as true as you can get it. And certainly we know that he's going to be there for us. He's never left us nor forsaken us, but we still are going to need all the help that we can get. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." Now this is the Lord speaking to his disciples, and he says, you know, there's some things that you can identify and that you can recognize in people when you go out here. But he said, I just want you to beware of certain people out there. I find it interesting in the word of the Lord how many times that the Apostle Paul, and we talked about this last week in our Sunday school lesson, about how the Apostle Paul was a person who he just called out names, and he wrote names in his letters to various churches and to individuals, and said, you know, you just need to know about these people because they are not people that are going to do you any good. And there's not probably a single one of us here this morning who at one time or another have not had people in our lives who weren't there for our betterment and who were not good for us and who may have done us more damage than they did good. I was visiting with some of the people down in Tennessee while I was there. I was thinking about that this morning, that again, I've been blessed to be able to meet some good people and some wonderful people wherever I've been over the years, and I'm thankful for those people. But I was saying to one of the individuals who was talking about how they had been hurt and mistreated by people in the church. And I said, well, you know, to tell you the truth, that's what you probably should have expected, because those are the people who are going to hurt you the most, the people who should not hurt you. You kind of expect that out of people who don't care, but you don't expect that out of God's children, out of your church people, and yet those are usually, and you find this just wherever you go, that's going to be the case. But Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, I want you to beware of false prophets who are going to go out, and he said, you should be able to identify them. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You know, there's just some things that as you begin to try to add everything up, you can just see it doesn't make sense. It's not going to come out as it should, and yet we know that what is being said and what is being done are two different things. They're contradictory one to the other. And so we just need to be sure as we look at our own lives that we're not saying one thing and doing another. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I have a number of people who love to quote that, and that's one of the things. By their fruits you shall know them. I try to qualify that. I know the scripture doesn't qualify it, but I try to qualify it to say, if you see me at the right time, you know, because there are sometimes whenever that if you were to see me, the fruit might not be very productive or might not be very good. So I sometimes temper that just a little bit. Now listen, here's the part that I want you to hear this morning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus said to his disciples, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to go into the kingdom of heaven. And as I begin to think about that, and I want you to listen to what the rest of it says, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So I begin to think, okay, now what is the will then of God? What does the scripture say about that? The writer over in the later in the New Testament said, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. So I know then by that, when I hear him say he's not willing that any perish, that his will is that we be able to live. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. And so how often do you hear me preach about repentance today? Not very often. Not very often. Most of our preachers don't want to preach about repentance today because, you know, we don't want people saying, oh, I'm sorry. But the truth of the matter is that we do need to preach repentance more than we do. When I go back over and I look at the old preacher who came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, the first thing he said was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you go back over and read whenever the Lord Jesus Christ first started, the first thing he said was, repent ye. And yet today we seem to think that there are other things that can be substituted for repentance. But Jesus in his word says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, let me just be sure that we're all on the same page and that you know where my position is. I do not believe there is ever going to be a single individual that gets into heaven based on their works. Not going to happen. I'm going to read it to you. It's the second chapter. I'll start in with the seventh verse. No, let me back up even a little. No, seventh will get it. Second chapter, seventh verse of the book of Ephesians. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I better get out of here. It is the gift of God. I'm looking at you all and reading when I can't do both. I'll tell you that right now. But I just wanted to check to make sure I had it right. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what's the Bible saying? It is saying that we are saved by grace, not by our works. And yet the Bible says Jesus, whenever he was speaking unto his disciples, said there are going to be many people who are going to stand before him in the great judgment. And I sometimes go over and read about the judgments in the word of the Lord. And you hear me put that in the plural, because I certainly believe there is more than one judgment. You can believe whatever you want to. Some of you may believe, well, there's only going to be one. We're all going to be there. I don't see that in the word of the Lord. But if you believe that way, that's okay. I'm not going to dispute you with you about that. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm just going to say, you know, why does the scripture say, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. And then when you get over to the white throne judgment, that all that's going to be there are the dead. And the Bible very clearly teaches that we that have been born again, who are, we are alive, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so we're alive, we're not dead. But there are going to be people who are going to stand there before the great I Am, and they're going to argue with Him at that point in time. Can you imagine that? I can't. I can't for the life of me. But they will. And in one respect, I understand that. Man, those people are there because they're facing hell. That's where they're going. That's where they're headed. That's where they're going to go. And so I can imagine that you would plead and you would cry and you would do everything in your power to be able to convince Him to let you go to heaven instead of to hell. But you know what the problem is? They waited until it was too late. They waited until it was too late. You think for one second there aren't going to be people there who are going to be pleading and crying and begging and doing everything under the sun? I'll guarantee you by the word of the Lord they are. They're going to stand there and say, and some of them are going to stand there and try to justify themselves as to why they should be able to go into heaven. They're going to say, Lord, didn't we do a lot of good things while we were down there on the earth? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all of these things? And we're entitled to go in? No, no, no. Not according to the word of the Lord, they're not entitled to. Their works do not save them. Works do not save anyone. Works are for individuals who have been saved. Now that's strange to some of you Baptists, because you've got this idea that once you get saved, that's all that needs to be done. Well, I'll guarantee you this morning that that's the only people who can really do works that are going to have a payoff one of these days. I'll guarantee you that by the word of the Lord. The Bible very clearly teaches that every one of us as a child of God should be doing works. We should be glorifying the Lord. We should be preaching the gospel. We should be warning sinners. We should be preaching repentance that they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Jesus says in His word that by grace we are saved. I go back over in the Old Testament and look at one of the first men that got saved. No, not the first one that got saved, but one of the first things. Examples, good examples, I guess, of where that you've got salvation is whenever that God had looked down and saw the continual wickedness of man and said, you know, I've had enough of them. I'm going to destroy them, wipe them off the face of the earth. I'm not going to take this anymore. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How many of you here, I'm probably the only one, who's old enough to remember Tennessee Ernie Ford, who used to say, yeah, I've got one or two that does, three or four or five, I've got a few of you here. And Tennessee Ernie Ford saying, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, every time I read this, I almost get into that tempo of it because that's the way the song went. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the Bible there, it says that that's what happened, that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of God's grace, he was spared. He was able to live. When destruction came, he escaped because God saved him. And by the same grace, every single one of us who've been saved today are going to be able to enter into heaven. Not because of something that we have done. Not because of what our name is. Not of what because our families did. You know, I'm amazed sometimes as I listen, and I always consider it a privilege when I can hear people tell about the Lord saving them. But I also become concerned sometimes when I hear people say, well, you know, my mama and my daddy, my grandpa, my grandma, and on back, you know, they were all good, strong people. But I never hear them say anything about the Lord saving them. It's what this lineage is. And that won't cut it, folks. By grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So by grace are you saved through faith. And you know what? You just can't muster up faith. Now I'm not telling you save people anything that you don't already know. You know this. You just didn't say, well, I'm just going to have faith to believe. You received faith from the Lord. You see, when we really begin to think about this whole process is, it takes God in every bit of it. I tell people all the time, you cannot be converted until you've first been convicted. And I believe that with everything there is about me. You've got to first be convicted of sin. You've first got to realize that you are a sinner. And then you've got to also understand that there isn't anything about you or that anything you can do that will merit salvation. It's by His grace, through faith in Him, that we're able to come to the foot of the cross and believe to the saving of our soul. But He has to give us all of those things. And so God does a lot more of it than we want to give Him credit for, and we do very little if you really get down to it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You cannot do it yourself. You cannot just decide when you're going to do it either. It takes the Spirit of God moving in the heart of the individuals that's lost. Now, we've got revival coming up here in a couple of months. I just will put a plug in here, Ronnie, for revival. It's going to be coming up here in the first part of October. That's not very far away. And I know that we're probably already praying, oh, Lord, send us some lost people that we can have a good revival. Well, let me just have you change your prayer. Cut that out. Don't be praying like that. Start praying, Lord, send us some lost people. They can be saved today. Don't wait till October. We may not be here in October. Not a single one of us know that. But if you look at the first church, it didn't have people saved once a year. As most of you know, I just came back a few weeks ago from Tennessee, and the pastor down there, Kenneth, told me, he says, you know what, our people have got that mindset that people got to get saved during a revival. I said, well, I understand that because that's the way most of our people are. They think more of revival times when people are supposed to be saved and forget about it all the rest of the year. Well, let me tell you something this morning. I want you to be praying for revival this time. You better be praying for it because, you know, the church chose me to be the one to do the preaching. So you're going to need to pray a lot more than you normally do. Usually bringing these high-powered preachers from somewhere else, and they do a good job for us, and we just kind of get to enjoy it and everything. Well, this time, you don't have that privilege. You chose to go a little different route. And I'm thankful, I'm appreciative of that, but I also know that it's going to take a lot more praying than you normally do. But I want you to be praying that God will deal with people now. Now. Some of those people may not live till October. There'll be somebody who will die between now and October that maybe needed the Lord in our community. I check the paper every day to see if there's another one up there that shows Wheatland or our area anyway that have died. And it doesn't always have them all. I want you to understand that. But I do look, you know. It's amazing to me. Amazing. Now listen, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's something that He gave us. Gave to me. He gave it to me. He didn't come and say, now, do you want me to give you this gift? And me say, well, what is it you've got to give me? I want to know before I decide whether or not that I want it. No, that's not the way it works either. But I'll guarantee you this one thing. Had I known what I know today about it, Ronnie, I'd have grabbed it in a second. You know, wouldn't even ask a single question. Now, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. He gave it to me. Gave it to you. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. He made a perfect plan before the foundation of the earth. Before God ever created man here upon the face of the earth, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had a conversation. And they sit down and they talked about that whenever that He placed man down here upon the earth, that man was going to sin and that there was going to have to be a ransom paid. There was going to have to be somebody who would come and be the propitiation for our sins. And Jesus the Son said, I will be the one. I will go. I'll go. I'll go and pay the redemption price for the souls of men. And He came. And you know what? He made up. It is a perfect plan. His plan is perfect. The plan of salvation in God's Word is perfect. I've got to hurry up and finish. I'm getting a little long this morning. But I want you to understand that it doesn't need to be modified. It doesn't need to be adjusted. It doesn't need to have anything changed to fit mine and your whims and the world's whims. Because you cannot improve on that which is perfect. And His plan is perfect. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. See, these people are going to stand here and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful things? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, that's another proof text, as far as I'm concerned, that if God ever saves you, you're never going to be lost again. Because if you were to be saved and you get lost again and you stood up there before him in a lost condition, he'd have to lie. And God is not going to lie. I guarantee you that. People say, oh, there's nothing impossible with God. Let me tell you, there are some things that are impossible for God. It is impossible for God to lie. And don't you ever forget it. God never has lied, and he never will lie. Everyone else, the devil himself is a liar from the beginning. And every one of us have lied at one time. Somebody said, well, I never have told a lie in my life. You just told one right there. Guarantee you. The Bible very clearly teaches that as babes we come out of the womb crying a lie. Yeah. Now, okay. It's there. Let me tell you, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if we could just work it ourselves, I'll guarantee you we'd be running around here. Well, the first thing that happened is we'd want a little glory for ourselves if we could do it. And the second thing is we'd be wanting to sell it to everybody else. Yeah, we'd profit off of it. Guarantee you. Yeah. And the price would just vary from one to another, just like we'd do everything else, you know. If I didn't like old Bart over here, I'd charge him double. And if I liked Emma, she'd get it half price. Now, you understand what I'm saying. But that's not the way it is, folks. God looks on every single one of us exactly the same. We are sinners that need redemption. We are people who must come to him. And he, by his grace, will save us. That's the only way we can be saved. Now then, let me close this morning then by going back over and reading again. And he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I'm never going to hear those words. I'm never going to hear them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want anyone else to hear them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if you want to find out when that departure takes place, where they're going, all you got to do is go over in the book of Revelation, and it'll tell you over there. It tells you very clearly.